I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission this Thursday, January 30th, 2014, to order. And note that we have a limited agenda for this morning, but the first item on the agenda is road vacations. And these are portions of a petition or petitions that were presented earlier that the County Commission tabled until this date so that we could have further study and further input regarding these vacations. And Mr. Hayes, if you will, I would like to turn it over to you to chat about vacations and what you have found, and then we'll open it up for any member that's here that would like to discuss the vacations as well, member of the audience. Mr. Hayes.
This meeting we have four roads that we had tabled at the previous meeting for a couple of different reasons. One of them was concerns with some property on one of them called Ravine. And anyway, in meeting with members there and Mr. Eddie Wolf, he's also got a map showing what they basically want to petition on Ravine, which does not include the lots that I was concerned about, and I may have him share that information with you if he would. And,
would you gentlemen like to join us to where, the reason I'm pointing to that table is we have that microphone and we're being taped and this is being broadcast. And
that color-coded map was for you to see what was tabled, and the table is the purple area.
Yes, sir.
And this is the section of Ravine right there that we're petitioning, and Randy thought we were up in here. And this road here is already vacated. The red is a vacated that has already been closed, you know, by petition, and we're showing all of these up in here. And this is Stone Road that you rejected here. And then, you know, what we're asking for is what is in the purple that is tabled. And we're showing, and we talked when we was talking to Randy.
Let me ask you one question. You said from here to here, this is one portion of the
vacation.
The ravine
Not
portion.
Not from here on, just from here to here.
Devil's Pool comes
the
through
whole,
here.
Okay, I got you. I'm sorry.
And on the recorded plat, it calls this part out as a ravine also. And then you got Lakeside that comes all the way through here out. But this is on the recorded plat, it shows ravine from there all the way to here, and then this is vacated from here on into the resort. And then Devil's Pool goes up the hill. Here, if you've been down there, that's where the old kids' corner building was up on the hill that they took down.
Yes, sir.
About a year ago. And right in there where Stone Road comes out, that's where we just wanted to vacate up there. There'd be a cul-de-sac built there for the county to turn around on or whatever at the grade that Randy would desire. And then over here we show two proposed areas depending on what is done or not done that we would build proposed cul-de-sacs in there if this road is vacated down through here on Lakeside.
Now let me understand this. So Randy, because you're the one that brought the question up, you're satisfied that the road that you were concerned with is above that point?
Yeah, what I wanted to make sure we double check is the description that was on the petition, if that was correct, because that's how we mapped these out, was by that description.
Right.
So we need to double check that, make sure we got the correct portion described in there that you want to vacate.
And we could verify that without a problem.
Now, the other question that I have is where we were talking about the cul-de-sacs. I think we even have it in our road standards now that we go to 100-foot cul-de-sacs.
A 50-foot radius.
Right.
And 80-foot, it's a 40-foot paved area, 40-foot right. radius
but,
paved area.
That's satisfactory to Randy. Those will be built before, or the vacate will happen immediately after they're built?
The turnarounds would have to be in place before we can take right. the road. Mm-hmm. So, and we've got standards that they can build it by that would be sufficient.
And we can do drawings, engineer drawings of the cul-de-sacs with the existing roads, so Randy can look at the grades coming into them and make sure the grade going across the cul-de-sac isn't like this or mm-hmm. or like that. That it's feasible to get in there and at a desired grade to right. to build those. And because to do these cul-de-sacs and to get the right-of-way the way we need to do it to make everything right, if this road is vacated, then we need to come in and do an amended plat on these lots where we can dedicate this extra area the cul-de-sac's going to take up back to the county. And then that way it'll get everything back in order. Because the way it is right now, there's only 40 foot, I believe, on that road that's platted. If you put that big cul-de-sac in there, then there's private property that we need to revert back to the county for maintenance.
That was mentioned at yeah. the last meeting that there would have to be
Because the object of this is to do the replatting, and through planning and zoning, we don't want to deal with all these lots in here because, you know, we're looking at maybe developing this hillside. So we'd come in and actually do an amended plat where we take care of the cul-de-sac problem, plus we would amend all of this into one huge lot in there so that way when you go to planning and zoning, you don't have to deal with setbacks because the way it presently is, if somebody decided to build a cabin right there for commercial purposes in the resort and was approved by P&Z, you couldn't build it there because the way the regulations are, there's setbacks from those lot lines. So we'd want to go in and get rid of all those lot lines and clean the property up to where when Bob Ashley gets a Division II permit to issue, there's none of that stuff that is out there to hinder us from getting a Division II. And we're wanting to do everything to county code in there. But the purpose of this is you know, we got a five-star resort over here. If they develop, you know, we don't want undesirables down in the resort. They can control the people in the resort. Keep the people they want there, the people they don't want can't get there. Because with the new road that's built from top of rock all the way in, we're going to be taking a tremendous amount of traffic off of the state. Because we already went through P&Z and got the grand entrance approved and the cave and all that. And that's all in the works of this. When they build the tunnel, then all of this traffic we're going to try to divert while we can into that grand entrance. And then we can isolate the resort where it can be run like a five-star resort should be run out there with the privacy and everything like that because John intends to grow everything out there and things, you know, in the old subdivision don't fit with the plan. And that's why we're asking for vacations of roads. And like right now, this is all cabins all the way through here.
Let me get this straight now. There will still be two that were rejected.
Yes, the yellow.
And these others are the requested areas that you come, that we ask at that point that you come back to us and prove that there was no other ownership in those.
Right.
So I have no problem with it.
That's a purple area here on the map.
Right.
The yellow is, this is the Scantlin, the two folks that we talked about, the owners, and we're still talking to them, but we haven't got anything resolved yet. But
to come back to those, Dan, if I'm not mistaken, since we rejected them, we'd have to go through the vacation process again.
That's my understanding.
And so there, we voted those off the table, if you will. We didn't accept those parts of the petition. However, there were four parts that we tabled. That I guess we have in front of us today, and that's what we're discussing.
But. Randy, I've got a question for you on this particular part of this that doesn't cause any hardship for those two questionable properties. As far as steepness,
snow. This one, it wouldn't because they're going to continue to use this road.
Okay.
And then we'll still have this road. The issue is, where do you put this cul-de-sac? Right now, feasible spot would be right here, because this one has been rejected. We still need access to this road to maintain.
But this portion of it is also requested.
Well,
correct.
We got notes there. If this isn't vacated, then the cul-de-sac would move to here. If this is vacated, the cul-de-sac would move to there. And if it's agreed upon to vacate from here back, then we would need to change the legal description of that to where it would move back to there. That's what we need to do, because we put both alternatives on the drawing.
Eddie, what if we vacated up to here today? Then we have to come back anyway to get this, don't we?
Yes.
And then we could vacate up here, ask for this portion to be vacated along with these
right.
two?
That's what that's basically saying.
Okay.
But that gets rid of any thoroughfare from this area to that area, correct?
Right.
Mm. How traveled is that from county residents that aren't related to the resort?
It's not.
I don't know that to be true.
I'm not saying nobody travels it, but what I'm saying is...
I drove it yesterday, so
yeah.
It's not.
But think about this just a minute. If you're an owner up here in this subdivision up here, and you're going to work, are you going to drive 2 miles out of your way to go out an entrance over here when you can drive a very short distance there to get out on 86?
My only thing is I don't want to impede or affect anybody that does use that road as a county resident after it's been a county road for however many years.
As far as safety in the wintertime, it's a lot safer going out this way because you're dealing with this tremendous grade on Devil's Pool going up the hill. And that road there, Randy, I'd say it's probably, 18% up through there?
I've got grades coming down this road. I got grades going up the hill out of that.
But, I mean, this is very steep.
I've got grades on just about every county road. I mean, that's...
But, I mean, as far as getting out to the highway and in bad weather, this is probably the best route out that direction. But there's no purpose for residents up here to drive back here other than just to look around, because there's nothing to get there to do. I mean, there's no ownership down there except Big Cedar or White Oak Ventures. And, that's just the way it is out there. Most of the traffic in here is used for Big Cedar because of the cabins and all of that in there. That's the majority of it there. In fact, I don't know that I've ever met anybody on that road driving it other than somebody that's rented a cabin.
On your notes, Randy, it says Lakeside Drive, so on and so forth. I would not recommend vacating this road. So what is your recommendation now?
Well, I didn't recommend it because it's currently county maintained as well as Devil Pool, because they are currently, right now, they're through roads, connecting roads to this area. And that's the reason I recommended, but they were tabled at last meeting for further discussion. At the time that they were wanting to vacate it, there was no cul-de-sacs discussed or turnarounds. If you vacate them at that time, we're coming down to a dead end with no way to turn around. So we need to answer them questions if you're going to create a dead end road out of a through road. So if they're going to build the cul-de-sacs, then that changes the whole aspect.
All right, let me ask a little bit of a question. We've answered the issue of the one property owner by not vacating this road, correct?
Mm-hmm. Two property owners.
And by not vacating this strip, then we allow access out, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And if, in fact, that were to occur, what I'm understanding is they would provide the cul-de-sac that would be necessary for us to turn around the vehicles for the maintaining of those roads, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If then that's the case, and we've taken care of that issue of having a turnaround, we've allowed the private property owners, potentially, they may very well change their minds, but for the time being, the ability to have ingress and egress, are you going to be recommending a vacation of that road? If they meet the stipulations that you've given them, I guess that's where I'm headed. Do you have an objection?
I would recommend vacating if this happens, the turnaround here, the turnaround here.
Then we're very willing to do that.
And we'll do that.
Any other discussion?
In the other
discussion that we had, there was discussion about because you come along around the lake and possibly could have bigger trucks, semis or whatever, is there a need for a larger cul-de-sac? Because you're going to be taking up lots anyway. That's a question for you, Randy.
Is this 40-foot diameter or 50-foot diameter? What does the spec call for?
Our road standards call for a 50-foot radius right-of-way and 40-foot radius paved surface on cul-de-sacs. I believe that's what they're
doing
right now.
A school bus can turn around.
A school bus can turn around. A tractor-trailer rig, you would have to have an enormous cul-de-sac for that type of vehicle almost. But it provides most normal vehicles. It's going to be a hindrance to any tractor-trailer rig that continues to go through there. And it's going to take a matter of time because all these roads are currently...
So that's a matter of signage is what I'm saying.
Matter of signage up here, and we would have to provide the signage that it will no longer be a through road, I mean, dead-end road and no outlet type signage, so we don't create them issues.
I wouldn't know why there would even be a tractor trailer down in there. There could be over here.
They get lost.
Well, that's possible.
I mean, we have that instance right here, up here where Devil's Pool and the state, we have a lot of motorhomes, different ones. People get lost, and with that geometry of that intersection, they get hung up there and take down signs because of the nature of that vehicle, but... Tractor-trailer rigs, most generally, they're coming down Devil's Pool, the estate, and on down that general area. I don't see as many down in here.
I don't think that the Big Cedar allows any traffic to come this way to get back into where Devil's Pool restaurant and back through the resort. I think everything has tried to be converted back over to estate, but due to the grades... And down here is a very difficult radius for a big vehicle to turn anyhow, because you got a grade like this, and then you got a flat grade right there, is the way they come together. And then since they built that Amish bridge right there across that old Devil's Pool Spring, I don't think the height of that would even allow a semi to come down in there.
I'm not sure that width would either.
Right. I mean, you know, it's a very attractive bridge and everything, but it's not set up for delivery trucks or anything like that. I think everything accesses back over through the state, comes through across the little waterfall there, unloads their goods there at Devil's Pool, and then goes right back out the same way. And delivery trucks, once they make one delivery, usually they follow the same routes and everything. But there's no guarantee that one can't, like I said, get lost and go somewhere. But I think even with a 40-foot radius, Randy, couldn't a semi, when they start to turn, then they can back up and jackknife and then pull out usually on, but they would have to jackknife in.
Shorter ones would. There's going to be some that may run into problems. But that's going to have to deal with signage and making sure that's all in place before these go away.
So your recommendation is to... that we had the discussion about last time that you weren't sure about property owners, that we go ahead and vacate those. And the two that have property owners on them that we leave, we've rejected those already. So there would be the two roads that there were question about.
There's actually four.
Four, but one's just a little strip.
Yeah.
But it's got the same name, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No.
Actually, what we're going to recommend is if this cul-de-sac is built, we can recommend vacating this section of Devil's Pool.
Yeah.
We can vacate Ravine.
That's no.
We can vacate Lakeside over to this point, or actually Lakeside to here, Lakeshore only to this point. This leaves county-maintained access for these private residents currently where they're traveling now. This would still be county road.
And one thing I'd like to ask, if the commission does agree to vacate those that were shown there, and I understand about Stone Road being left open because of the tunnel.
Yeah, that's...
That we can shorten this purple up to right there, then have an agreement when Stone Road is vacated after the tunnel's built, then the cul-de-sac will go up here and we'll vacate back up to that point.
Why can't we do that anyway? Because the reason they rejected Stone Road is because they need the...
Yeah.
You just need the bypass until the construction's complete, right?
You need the bypass.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Right.
But, I mean, we're not trying to cause a problem there, just the way I got that shown. If the world was perfect and the tunnel wasn't being built, and, you know, that's the likely place for it to be, that we could shorten up here, then we can go ahead and do plans and stuff for this for Randy or whatever, but, you know, we can change the legal where we'd vacate to there, and then once the tunnel's done, then you'd vacate to there and the cul-de-sac be built.
If we choose to do so.
If you should choose to do so.
The difference I see between the two of you standing here before us is you're talking about moving forward to vacation today, and he's saying not until those cul-de-sacs are in place.
Right, but I mean, the commission's got to vote. If I understand procedure right, does the commission vote on it so we know that you're going to do what you're going to do, or how's that work? So if we go out there and spend a bunch of money, build the cul-de-sacs and everything like that, is it going to happen? Because we don't want to do it. You understand my point there.
Could we vacate upon Randy's acceptance of a cul-de-sac?
That's what I'm saying is, you know, it'd be a stipulation of the vacation.
Vacation occurs upon Randy's approval.
Contingent upon.
Yeah.
And then we could not worry about that one. If we choose to vacate it to that point,
right,
that can be left alone. And then whenever we deal with that, then they put the cul-de-sac wherever we need.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you have to build the cul-de-sac twice? If you spend the money and build it here, you're just going to vacate this road. There would just be no access to this section of road.
Yeah, we could back it up if we need to.
Yeah, I think you ought to leave it there. Yeah.
I'm saying why build it at all until
it's time. We could go ahead and do a set of plans on it where Randy could see what.
Well, that's a good point. Why don't we just make it conditional upon the cul-de-sac being built down there? Because this one's not... They're not going to build that cul-de-sac until this road's...
No, not until it goes away. But what I'm saying is we could build the plans where Randy could see what would take place and make reference.
We could address that cul-de-sac at the time, and that could be contingent upon whether or not that is vacated.
Right.
That portion. So my legal question is this, Frank. We have petitions in front of us. The entire amount that I see of purple there is included within the petition. What we would be looking at, however, is a portion of the petition. We leave out this little section here. And
this little section
right
there.
This little section here. So in all, what we could vote upon is the vast majority of the petition that was placed in front of us, with the exception of the two heads. Would we have to legally describe that or accept that portion from?
I have a suggestion.
Yes,
I prepared a judgment which just had all the tabled legal descriptions in it.
Yes, sir.
But it didn't carve out those two sections. So if Eddie could give me a new legal with these sections carved out, I could give Frank a judgment with the new legal for these tabled sections for your review to sign off on?
The answer to the question is there's no case saying what you all can do when what you want to do is different than the exact thing that was requested. I think it becomes a balancing question as to whether or not the public has notice of what's going to be done, what's asked to be done, which is the whole thing, versus what you're proposed to do now. which is somewhat less than that. And the theory would be if they don't know, and if it significantly changes what their position would be with regard to vacating it, then it shouldn't be done. If it's not going to make any significant difference in their judgment, in the public's judgment, in other words, if they aren't here today complaining about the proposal, which was all of the roads, then I would think that the law is only disturbed is if they would have come forward and complained if it was less that was being sought. But there's no legal, there's nothing that says one way or the other.
And in fact, by doing less, we're ensuring that the public is taken care of. That's the purpose.
Yeah, the petition we filed includes much more than you're actually vacating.
That's correct.
So where you're actually taking less, so I don't, in my opinion, I don't think you have to give new notice and make new.
My suggestion would be, though, that we continue this until we have the correct description and make a decision at that time with the correct decision as to whether or not to make it that. I don't have opposition to what's presented today. And I don't have opposition to the exceptions that Randy has noted. And I think that you all have, that we all see that the same. Do you all, Danny or Brandon, have any objection to waiting? Do we have a proper description?
I don't.
Reposting and make a decision on that portion.
I don't have any problem with it as long as we have it where it's clear.
Well, it makes it a lot easier for me to see it on this.
Right.
And that's why we printed this, to make it very easy.
Can you print a new map with them changes?
Uh-huh.
Print.
So, once he gives me the legal, I can send you a proposed judgment with this with this cul-de-sac contingency.
And is the so I'm clear on this. We have everybody's in agreement that cul-de-sacs will be put in.
I think just one, Frank, right here.
A cul-de-sac is envisioned by everyone to be installed.
Yeah.
And the only question was, which comes first, the vacation or the cul-de-sac?
Right.
And as I understand, we're kind of cutting both of these things. You're going to go ahead and put in the cul-de-sac with the petition being contingent upon Mr. Hayes' approval of the cul-de-sac, and then the petition will be granted. Is that what we...
That's why I understand.
Or it's granted subject to the cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Construction and acceptance by the county.
Okay.
And then once that's accepted, then the roads are effectively vacated.
And is it your wish, Randy, that we prepare a set of plans? Like I talked about, that way we've got a paper trail.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we've addressed with regard to Exhibit A of the, which is the letter that Randy provided the commission last time. We've addressed all the tabled roads, and of course the two roads that were rejected last time are still rejected. So those rejected roads won't be part of the proposed judgment. We will change the legal description to address the issues raised on the tabled roads. So your judgment will be a proposal for all the roads you okayed last time, plus the tabled roads with revised legal descriptions and subject to the cul-de-sac construction and acceptance by the county.
And there's one other item that Randy mentioned. We will verify the legal description on this little piece of ravine that he had a question
about. Okay.
And that should be all of the questions you had when Randy.
Yeah, because we had it drawn totally different on there, and we were going by the descriptions presented. So I needed that double check to make sure that it wasn't going to involve.
And to be honest with you, we've been at this situation for, what, a year, Brian?
A while.
And there could have been an old one that got shuffled in because things have changed. And so I just need to make sure what everybody's got. Because I've tried to give them Brian current and, you know, and everything. But we will verify all questions there and do what she has.
What time frame do you think?
As far as the legal descriptions being changed, I'll have those to Brian Monday or Tuesday.
Then I can get something to Frank next week. Mm-hmm.
And on this here, I think by the end of next week, we can have a set of plans to Randy on that little cul-de-sac. And I'll have to go down and do some topo work so we can draw the cul-de-sac in there. and get the plans to him. So by the end of next week, I think all of those items will be in place with Randy and with Brian to do that. And it's a matter of Randy looking at it and saying this is sufficient or insufficient and tell us, you know, if this is what we want to build.
Is Monday, February 10th too early?
No, that would be no, that wouldn't be too early there to have the plans and everything to Randy.
I meant for us to meet again.
If you want to go over, the only thing we wouldn't be able to accomplish in that length of time would be the construction of the cul-de-sac.
Well, I was saying that we would present a judgment to them that would be subject, so the vacation wouldn't be effective until the cul-de-sac is constructed. Upon acceptance of the cul-de-sac, the vacation takes is effective.
Okay.
That's my suggestion.
Okay. Yeah,
so that way you wouldn't have to come back and continue to table.
As long as the attorneys can get their stuff together and done.
That's Randy always a big question.
The plans, I think I can have the information to them at sufficient time to where they could, let's say, it looks either good or bad.
February 10th.
My question is to schedule a hearing with the commission. Monday, February 10th, we are going to be in commissioner's training, so it will be a Thursday meeting that week.
Okay. Well, we can do it on a day different than Thursday. The only reason I couldn't meet on a Monday is I had to go to Jefferson City that day, and that's so we could be to a Monday if that's time for Brian and him to be there.
10th is okay with me.
And Randy also.
Will be the next earliest.
17th is a holiday.
17th, it does appear to be a holiday. What is it?
But the 10th is good, you think?
It is with me.
With Randy? Frank?
It's okay with me.
It's okay with me.
Danny's driving. You'll be here.
Now, one other item that will have to happen to get the correct right-of-way to the county, this will have to be amended per code. Now, we can write the legal descriptions to the area that the county would receive because they need to be transferred by fee simple title. But to meet the code, we'll have to do the amended plats, but that can all come after we have our meeting and everything.
Again,
that goes through P&Z, right?
We're going to word the verbiage so that,
okay,
that the vacation will become effective after all that's taken place.
Because I don't want to violate something and, you know, keep everything with code.
So when you go to P&Z, you'll show.
Well, this will
new,
be done administratively,
right.
But for Randy's purposes, if I understand the way Randy tries to do stuff is, even though we plat that and it's signed off by Bob Ashley and we record it, that doesn't transfer title. He will actually need written documents that will be given to him by White Oak Ventures as fee simple title to that part of that right-of-way that Taney County Road and Bridge will own.
Yep. Sure. February 10th, 10 o'clock?
Fine.
Thanks, Eddie.
Do you guys want this map or anything? Because we're going to print some more.
I don't want any more maps.
Yes, Randy wants that.
I'm going to keep that one.
Okay. Well, we'll give it to you, Helen.
All right. I would entertain a motion to table this issue of vacation until February 10th at 10 a.m.
I'll move.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to table vacation issues that are in front of us until February 10th at 10 a.m. At which time we can bring those back up. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you guys.
Frank, I'll send you.
Thank you.
accounts payable. Gentlemen, I have asked that the invoice that we had held back until
we could have further discussion regarding said issue be placed on today's agenda. I spoke with the circuit judge at great length on Tuesday. He came to the office and we spoke for over an hour. We had a great conversation regarding the budget, potential future budget discussions, of which the circuit judge has agreed to get involved with personally and has agreed to meet with us at any time. He was very gracious, very open. We had a good discussion. We talked about the court administration's order that circuit judges make a decision regarding additional attorney time within the juvenile offices across the state of Missouri. Talked about the options that the judges were limited to, and one of those, of course, was to call upon counties to incur that additional cost. And how important it would be for us to do this, and that in fact, in so doing, it could help us in other areas of expenses that we currently are facing within the court system, such as guardian ad litem, which, as we know, is probably one of the biggest portions of the circuit's budget and has continued to rise on an annual basis. And it's his feeling that with this increased attorney's presence that we should see guardian ad litem fees drop. And with that in mind and with the cooperative spirit that he and I chatted for an hour, I would advise that we in fact pay this invoice, that we move forward, and that we do so and take it from the professional services account that we established for such purpose to pay professional services, and that we move forward in that vein. Both the judge and I agreed that the budget is a budget and that we try to live within those budgets on an annual basis, that if there are, in fact, and we have told the circuit as well as other departments within the state that we know that there will be unforeseen expenses in the future, there will be additional deaths that have to be investigated and prosecuted, and when that time comes, Taney County has always rose to the occasion and paid those bills and invoices, and we will continue to do so. So it's with that that I recommend that the bill that we held back be paid. Is there a motion to approve that?
Motion for approval.
Do you have the check number?
I do. It is 338295. Would you like to include that in your motion?
Motion for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve invoice number 338295, which has been held by the commission. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Renew existing bid contract number 201207-191. You know, on a personal note regarding that issue, I really wish that we had been able to sit down prior, because that was such an easy discussion that the judge and I had, and it's regrettable that comments were made by an employee of political nature. But nonetheless, that's in our past, and we're moving forward. Ron?
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. I'm here to address an item that popped up on my radar screen concerning our current agreement for tipping services. That agreement has been in place since August of 2012. It is set to expire on February the 20th of this year. As such, I made an effort to contact that particular vendor, which is Waste Corporation of America, and inquired to them whether or not they would be inclined to maintain the current costs that were in place. and agree to provide those services at that cost for another 12, for an additional 12 months based on the item within our bid specs, and which was added to their contract concerning our option to renew that for an additional 12 months. They were agreeable to that. Legal was involved, and we have had all of the legal document mechanisms signed and forwarded back and forth to this point, where I'm requesting that a motion be made to formally renew that contract, and that is in reference to bid number 201207-191, which is also the reference number on all of the agreements and paperwork.
Motion so moved.
Is there a second?
I don't know what I'm seconding half the time.
The number that he just got.
Let me.
Is he listening?
Let me.
Oh, sorry.
Let me second the motion, and let me note that we went through this process. We were fortunate to receive a bid that is saving the county
approximately $4,500 a day.
Approximately $4,500 a day, which is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And in so doing, and part of those bid specs that we went out, if I'm not mistaken, there was an option that we allowed to any voters that would be voting thereupon to extend that for a year. And in fact, we are being asked today by our purchasing director to extend that existing agreement for one more year, which was brought upon when we put the bids, or which was part of the bid specs that we put out. My comment is that we certainly need to move forward with that and capture what that savings is. At the end or prior to the end of that 12-month period of time, obviously we would need to go back out for bids to anyone who might be involved, but I don't think we ought to miss this opportunity.
Correct.
Discussion, gentlemen? The motion is to renew the existing bid contract number 201207-191 for tipping services for a 12-month period of time. So it's really an extension of existing agreement. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Erickson, I know I've said this before, but I want to specifically thank you, thank Randy Hayes, thank David Stottle, and thank everybody that was involved in securing this agreement in the first place. It's
appreciate that.
Been a lifesaver for the county.
Thank you.
Just got back in time to get a pat on the back, Randy. Donna Neely, would you join us? Yes, we have that it may go into executive session. And at your request, I think that we should. Before we do, I would note that this is a discussion about personnel within your office. I noticed that since this issue has been in the press, that it's obviously a little more than just a discussion about personnel. But if I'm not mistaken, so that there won't be too many misunderstandings and so that the commission won't be put in such an unfavorable light, that you have an let me go back to the budgetary decision that was made by the county commission. We worked very hard to see that all the employees within the county system received an increase. We directed our purchasing officer for the county, not our purchasing officer, we directed our human resources officer and our payroll director to help us ensure that every single employee received an increase. If they had been here a year or longer, they would receive X amount. If they had been here an increment of the year, they would receive a proportionate share of that total amount that was given to all employees. And that was for everyone, I think, that had at least a minimum of 3 months of service with the county. You had a particular individual that fell within a category of a 35-cent increase, and that 35-cent increase was granted. And we're going to go into executive session, I think, because you don't want that 35 cents granted, and we're all but willing.
That's not an issue.
We're all but willing to allow that to happen. Are you?
But since you've made this part public, then I would like to make the statute so I have an issue with public. And
I
one is Chapter 115.065. The employee that is in question is hired under the Election Services Fund, which shall be budgeted and expended at the direction of the election authority and shall not be used to substitute for or subsidize any allocation of the general revenue for the operation of the election authority's office without the express consent of the election authority. That's one issue. The other section is 51.430. The clerk of the county commission of all counties of the first class not having a charter form of government shall appoint such assistants, clerks, and deputies as he deems necessary for the proper discharge of the duties of his office and may set their compensation within the limitations of allocations made for that purpose by the county commission. The allocation for salaries made in my budget, 102 budget, was $77,000. That was the allocation. Not a line item, not an individual wage per employee in the budget. Therefore, I'm following this statute, which I have followed every year, and filled out a form for the auditor's office and the payroll clerk to set the wages for that year. Also, a line item was created in my 102 account without my permission or authority, wherein the commission cannot hire any individual without my approval. And a line item was created at the order of the commission, or at least one commissioner.
Well, first, no line item was created at the order of any commissioner that I'm aware of. Secondly, there was a direction to the HR director and to the payroll clerk that we ensure that everybody receive an increase. We apologize that we've paid an employee or given an employee an increase that you did not want to receive an increase. We will go into exec session if you want to make sure that we can rectify that for you. Our intent, Donna, was solely to make sure that every employee received an increase. This has gone to much greater an issue than it ever had to go to. And we are certainly here, and we're available to that. We'll step into executive session. We'll remove that 35 cents if you ask us to, and so forth. As far as what the law is, thank you for reading it to me. I lived under it for 20 years. I well understand what it is. I understand its intent. I understand what part of it was written. I also know that if the county commission had given you $10 for your annual budget, that's what you could have paid salaries out of. We made our decision of what to give you within your budget based upon what you told us you needed for certain people. That's what we did. And by golly, somebody is being paid out of another fund we didn't know of. I don't even want to go there. I don't want to talk about it. I just want to take care of you, and I want to take away that 35 cents if that's what you're asking. I just wish you would have done it in a different way.
Well, it's my determination to do that 35 cents or not to do that 35 cents.
Here's what happened. We get a list of all the employees, not departments, not the list that I specifically looked at. It was a list of every single employee, and it was when they were hired. That's what was given to us. So I go down the list, and I know specific individuals where decisions were made that worked under a department of the commission, and we noticed that, hey, now, wait a minute, we talked about this individual, and they were supposed to get this. Hey, wait a minute, they've been here over a year, and they didn't get the 60 cents. Hey, wait a minute, they didn't. So not knowing the department it was paid out of, not knowing the individual even by name, but just looking specifically at dates and what we'd agreed upon is whenever we – speak for myself, was whenever I went through and said, hey, this individual was hired, they've been here X amount of time, they didn't receive an increase. It must have been an overlooked error of some kind. We need to make sure we give the increase.
Except there were threats made.
Okay. I don't know anything about threats. I don't know anything about any of that. I do my job, and then I go take care of the people over on the western side. I don't get wrapped up in all your guys' baloney.
So, thank you, exactly, because the commission
everybody's
does not
guilty.
Know
everybody's
what's
guilty.
Going on in my office, does not know the status of my employees, does not know whether they're part-time or full-time,
Donna,
or leaving or
Donna,
else.
Donna,
that wasn't it.
We made a decision based on every employee that was working for the county. And that's how this came about. We asked that every single employee that fell under an elected official or a county department head receive an increase, and here's the formula for that increase. That's what happened.
It wasn't
that's
a
pure and simple. It was nothing else.
That's what I mean by
the direction needs to be given to the auditor's office that they do not have, that they should not be interfering with our setting of the wages.
Donna, it was not our intent to interfere with any elected official setting with any salaries.
Because
at all.
There's another elected official that has an issue. So you're saying now that they can go to the auditor's office and set the wage for that employee as long as it's within their budget.
Donna, what I'm telling you is it was not our intention to have you do anything within your budget. We just wanted to make sure that everybody received an increase. We're sorry you're unhappy that one did. We didn't mean to cause you any problem over that. Now, if we move into executive session, we can take care of this in 10 seconds.
I think it's been made public, so I don't think we need to go into
it. Oh, I think it was made public when it hit the press.
I think it was made public. Matter of fact, there's been two circumstances where we have had elected officials come to us and ask to go into executive session when they've already been to the press and there's been a story done on the entire issue.
I didn't go to the press. The press called me.
Well, I don't care how that operates.
And called Ron.
Well, why didn't you tell the press then that we were going to go into executive session?
This was not something for the public. That's what I told them, Ron. I cannot control what is put in the newspaper, and I'm sick and tired of being blamed for it.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Do you want a motion here in public record with the individual's name, or shall we go into executive session for that?
I want the commission to acknowledge that it is my authority to set the wages for my employees, and I will direct the auditor's office to reverse what they've done. And if I choose to give that raise at any point in time out of whatever fund, I will do that within my authority.
Well, I'm glad you added that last part. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
I'm guessing there's no need to because she's going to do it.
There is if we're going to use an individual's name.
But we're not getting rid of anything she said she was going to do.
Unless you're going to publicly object to me authorizing the auditor's office to follow my directions on the city wages.
Donna, I don't know what your directions are. All I know is if you want us to remove 35 cents from the individual that we both know we're talking about, we'll be delighted to tell the auditor's office to do that. Is that sufficient for you?
Did you just say I have the authority to do that, though, Ron? If I do, then I'll go do it myself.
I guess I'll ask you one more time. Do you want us to make a motion in executive session, or would you like me to tell the auditor to reduce that 35 cents based upon your request here today? Is that what you're requesting? Do you want the 35 cents removed from the employee or not?
Yes.
Thank you. Then we'll take care of it.
All right. Thank you.
Could you also help us with another matter of the budget that we've been asking for some time since we're talking about the budget?
I don't know if we're posted for it, but if we are, I
would say so. You're right. We're not. Thank you very much. We'll do it through a PSR. Do any of you have any comments still pertaining to this matter, or can we move forward? I would accept a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.